honest teeth, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
It's time for our national championship, the United States Open, and the second major championship of 2017. Welcome to the Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Jay, an exciting time in the world of professional golf.
I'm so excited for this new venue at the United States Open. I'm glad that you're there getting to see it and feel it, and we're going to talk about it, and I'm still trying to make my picks.
Well, it's not easy, and we'll talk more about making a pick later on. While most of the show will be previewing the United States Open, first, the Grill Room wants to congratulate Daniel Berger. I talked to him on the range just a few minutes ago. He's delighted with that victory on his win at FedEx St. Jude. Back-to-back wins at the same event. Incredible. Only two guys ever did that. Dave Hill did it in the late 60s, early 70s. And then Lee Trevino, a couple of years later, I believe, did it in 72, 73. Winning on the PGA Tour, Jay, as you well know, very difficult. Winning the same event 2 years in a row, absolutely incredible.
No, really incredible. And to do it with that type of leaderboard and all the action was going on, Bob, I can never remember. I can never remember nine guys tied for the lead on Sunday afternoon in the round. That's what was the case on Sunday. And Berger really played with a lot of moxie and defended his title and did it well. And hats off to a young Brandon Thornberry, the amateur, the sophomore at Ole Miss, who just won the NCAA championship in his first PGA Tour event. The amateur finishes tied for fourth.
Yeah, pretty impressive and pretty impressive performance by Thornberry, that's for sure.
Yeah, fantastic stuff from a young player. We'll see. I think he's got some still time as in his amateur ranks and his collegiate play to prove himself. Bob, one other note before we get into this year's U.S. Open. We got word today that Tiger Woods has entered a rehab facility for addiction to prescription medication, or pills, as the press release said. We wish Tiger a full recovery and sincerely hope we see him back inside the ropes again when he's fully healed. I think we all felt like something was really wrong, and now the proof is there as he's going to rehab.
Yeah, we certainly wish him the best. He was a good friend to you and I for a long time. All right, Jay, you know it's U.S. Open time, and you know the Grill Room is powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. So now it's time to talk about pick the winner of the U.S. Open contest. We changed it up a little bit, so now there's time for everyone to get their pick into the contest. Now, if there are more than one entry for the eventual winner, all winning contestant names will go into a hat and will blind draw out a winner. Here are the contest details. Send your pick to win the 117th U.S. Open to entry at thegrillroom.com. That's simply entry at thegrillroom.com and get an opportunity to put a Vertical Groove driver in your bag. What's that going to do for you? Trust me when I tell you it's in the bag of Jay Randolph. Guess what he's doing? He's hitting it further. He's hitting it straighter. It could happen to you. Just send your entry into entry at thegrillroom.com. All right, Jay, what are your thoughts about this U.S. Open and Erin Hills?
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting venue. I don't think it will be as diabolical maybe as Chambers Bay was. You're there. I'm looking forward to your thoughts on it. It's obviously very long. The one thing I've continued to hear, Bob, from people that have played it and been there, a lot depends on the wind. And I know in speaking with you that wind is going to be the factor maybe that determines how low somebody goes.
Well said, Jay. There's no doubt about it. I was out on the golf course just a few moments ago. There's literally no shelter. And if it's dead calm, you know, you probably can handle this pretty well. It's a big golf course. They're going to play somewhere around 7,700 yards. Four par fives. Guess this. Three of them are over 600 yards. The other one's a short hole. It's only 594 yards long. So you got to hit it a mile here. You got to hit it straight. You got to keep it out of the fescue. And you're right on the money, Jay, when you say the major determining factor on who's going to come up with that trophy come Sunday afternoon. If it blows, I don't think there's a player in this field that wouldn't take even par and just stay in the clubhouse for four rounds.
Well, let's learn a little bit more about this golf course from a Wisconsin native, Andy North, the two-time U.S. Open champ. Bob had the chance to catch up with him and learn a little bit more about Aaron Hill.
Andy, exciting week for you in many ways, obviously a two-time champion, but U.S. Open for the first time in your home state of Wisconsin. Exciting.
Yeah, it really is. The fact that Wisconsin hasn't had a lot of golf history until the last few years where we had the PGA up at Whistling Straits, and the folks in Wisconsin supported it so beautifully that I think that helped get the Open here. And this is a very interesting golf course on a huge piece of property. I know that USGA loves the fact that there's corporate hospitality everywhere. There's a lot of room. It's going to be a very interesting week, and we're really proud to have it in our backyard, and it's going to be really fun for the players to see what you know, Wisconsin's all about.
You know, Andy, for anybody that plays this game, they can only dream about winning a U.S. Open. Winning it two times, I mean, what did that mean to you when you won the second time? Did you think, well, I'll probably win it again?
Well, it's, you know, it's funny that as kids we all have goals and people you want to emulate and tournaments you want to win. And from the time I was about 14 to 15 years old, the Open is the tournament I wanted to win. And to be able to, you know, get to that point and do that and be the champion of your country is really pretty neat.
What we're looking for here this week, brand new facility. Mm-hmm. You probably know as much about it as any of the players, maybe even more than most of the players. How do you think Aaron Hills is going to hold up in identifying the best player in the world?
Well, I think that's really part of the problem this week is that not only do the players really not have any idea, the USGA doesn't either. So how they set the golf course up, they don't have past history. You know, if the wind blows this way, we have trouble with these holes, and or if it blows another direction, we can't use this hole location kind of stuff. That's all out the window this week. So they're as lost as the players are in a lot of ways. They just don't have that history to pull on. But at the same time, they spent a lot of time out here. They had the amateur here, which is going to help them a little bit. But a little different time of the year. The wind direction is a little bit different. I think it's going to be a very interesting championship. I don't have – usually I have a really good feel for figuring out what the score is going to be, the winning score. You know, even par could win, 20 under could win, just depending on the conditions and the wind and that sort of thing. It's a much wider golf course than we normally see at an Open. The fairways are huge, which should be a benefit for the longer players. And with it being a long golf course, that should fit right into Dustin Johnson and Jason Day and, you know, the guys that can really hit it a long ways.
Is wind, though, the real unknown quantity here? I mean, I've heard reports that, you know, even a 15, 20-mile-an-hour wind on Aaron Hills makes it extremely difficult.
Yeah, the wind will have a big factor. And then there's also the problem that can happen here that you don't see a lot of places. You can set the golf course up for a southwest wind in the morning, and 2 o'clock in the afternoon it switches and comes back off of Lake Michigan. So we're close enough to the lake to have that lake effect, so that can be a real problem. So that just adds to the excitement of how the USGA is going to try to get this thing set up. But it's going to be a difficult test, as it always is, and just hope we've got good weather and we get a great champion.
Well, he only won three times, and two of them were U.S. Opens. That's Andy North. Bob, a real treat to see Andy North.
Yeah, real gentleman, Jay, as you well know. And, you know, you win one U.S. Open, it's a remarkable career. When you double that, it's absolutely incredible. By the way, if you're looking for Dustin Johnson, a repeat, the last time anybody repeated winning the United States Open, we got to go back to 1988-89 when Curtis Strange got the job done. All right, Jay, let's hear from some of the players that might be called key contenders. Of course, anyone can win a U.S. Open, but these guys might have a little better chance than the others. First, the only player eligible to win the Grand Slam this year. He won the Masters, and we start off by congratulating Sergio on his Masters victory.
No, it's been fun. Obviously, it's been very overwhelming and very busy, but it's been a great experience to be able to call myself Masters champion. It's something. It's a dream come true, and something that I'm extremely proud of. But you know, this is a different week, and that is not gonna give me any advantage when we get on the first tee. So you still have to focus hard and trust yourself, believe in your ability, commit to your shots and your thoughts, and then hopefully have another good week here.
Sergio Garcia, certainly, you know, the weight lifted off his shoulders, incredible. For years, he was referred to, as you well know, Jay Bird, the best player never to win a major. He's tired of hearing that. He doesn't have to listen to that anymore.
He sure doesn't, and the weight off his shoulders, you wonder how it's going to affect him at major championships the next couple of years, and obviously he's been enjoying the spoils and spirits of winning a Masters title. It may be a little much to ask for Sergio. His best finish in a United States Open came at Pinehurst in 2005. But heck, you know, if he gets rolling, he certainly got a shot.
Yeah, with that monkey off his back, you got to look in that direction. Somebody I think has a real chance at winning, Rory McIlroy. He's been here since last Friday. Matter of fact, had one of the architects walk around with him to familiarize him with the new course. He tells us the injury is healed. He's coming in fresh. He admits he's not tournament tough right now. I don't know how important that is, but here's Rory McIlroy.
You know, from what I've seen so far, it's really good. I mean, it's it lets players be aggressive, I feel like. You can be aggressive off the tee. You can be aggressive with your approach shots. If you do miss a green, it's not as if you're going to be chipping out a thick rough. You know, it's going on into these little collection areas and runoffs. So it's a little bit of a different challenge than what we've faced in U.S. Opens in the past, but I think it's really good. You know, I'm excited for it, and I think, you know, it's going to be a huge success.
You know, on his game, Jay, I think he's the best driver of the golf ball playing professional golf.
Well, you know, you mentioned that he walked around, one of the architects walked around with him in his news conference prior to the start of the tournament, right after they had cut some of that fescue back because of the rain. He was hot. I mean, Rory was not happy with the fact that they trimmed some of the fescue. He said, you got a 50-yard area to hit it in. If the top 156 players in the world can't hit it in that area, too bad for him. He was not happy. I think he was preparing for a different Aaron Hill.
Yeah, I think you're right there, Jay. He likes more premium on driving because he is just a superb driver of the golf ball. Speaking of some knowledge, Jordan Spieth, he played in the 2011 U.S. Amateur here at Erin Hills, but told us he doesn't remember much about the course.
But it still feels like a pretty new golf course to me. It's going to play different with the fescue right off of the rough and the difficulty in staying extremely focused off the tee and not hitting any foul balls, because there's essentially two hazards on each side of every single hole. So you have a wide enough area in between to where it's fair and yet tough. But if you hit it into that stuff, there's a chance you'll just have to hit back to the fairway with pretty much taking a penalty stroke. And you might get a chance to hit the green. So I think it's a well-designed, well-bunkered golf course with a bunch of tee box options. It's kind of tough to prepare because there's three or four tee boxes on almost every hole that we could be playing from.
You know, Jay, he brings up a great point there at the end. His preparation, he said it's really difficult because there are three or four tee boxes that they could use on almost every hole. So how do you choose your sight lines? How do you manufacture your strategy when you don't know what tee you're going to be playing.
Well, and I've heard, Bob, you mentioned the 2011 U.S. Amateur. I talked to my friend from St. Louis, Skip Burtmeyer, who played in that U.S. Amateur, and he told me this is a dream for Mike Davis, that he can make this golf course different every day. Folks that don't know, Mike Davis, executive director of the USGA, also the man that sets up the golf course at the U.S. Open. And like you said, they're going to have a lot of different tee boxes. They're going to change it up. So I don't know how much preparation is going to play a factor. I don't know that it's going to matter who's got the most experience at Erin Hills, because it's going to be probably a different Erin Hills.
And one thing we talked a little bit earlier, Jay, about the wind. Yes, I agree with you 100%. The wind's going to be a major factor here. But where it's also going to be a factor that never really is talked about, if it's blowing here, because everything's out in the open, when you're on the green putting, and you know from your days being a good stick, you know, putting is tough enough. Putting on slick greens when the wind is blowing is really tough.
Well, that's a remedy for big-time trouble. I mean, they're going to have to be very cautious with the green speed if the wind does pick up, like you said, because it's out there in the open and anything can happen. And you know, you start getting a little bit fragile with the putter, and it can be good night, Irene.
You know, a lot of guys with a possibility, the gentleman that won at Colonial 2 weeks ago, Kevin Kisner, we're friends with his caddy, Dwayne Bach. By the way, Dwayne graduated from East Hampton High School, not too far from Shinnecock, and Dwayne just was selected for the Hall of Fame there. Only found out that news yesterday. I was talking with Kevin today, and I said, you know, Kevin, if you win the U.S. Open, because Kevin Kisner purchased a brand-new truck for his caddy as a surprise. I said, Kevin, if you win this U.S. Open, I said, I think I'm going to sit in my driveway for a couple of days. Maybe a brand-new truck will show up. He looked at me, and he said, Bob, you're going to be sitting there a long time.
Well, it was really cool to see the tweet that Dwayne Bach sent out with his new truck. That's awesome, and congratulations to him going in the East Hampton Hall of Fame. Kevin Kisner, certainly he's got a shot. It'll be interesting to see Steve Stricker playing in his home state of Wisconsin, a guy who's kept himself healthy, a guy who's still got big-time game at the age of 50, but he's not done yet. Then there's my man Rombo. Last year, 1 year ago, he had an A in front of his name for amateur. Now he's in the top 10 in the world ranking. Watch out for John Rahm. And another guy that some people are looking at, Bob, Justin Thomas, who got off to that hot start at the beginning of the PGA Tour season, kind of hit a little bit of low, but has been showing a little life as we lead into this U.S. Open.
He can hit it 9 million miles. I kind of fancy Justin Thomas's chances here this week. Speaking of people that can hit it 9 million miles, Dustin Johnson obviously has to be the favorite coming in, but he's on hold as far as getting to the golf course because he's expecting the arrival of his second child. It was supposed to have occurred early in the week. Hasn't happened yet. Don't know what'll happen. If the baby doesn't come, he might not make it. And ironically enough, we got Phil Mickelson who may not make it because he's going to his daughter's graduation, and Phil has it figured out to the minute. He needs a four-hour delay on Thursday morning's tee times. If he gets that four-hour window, he'll be able to get in his plane. There's an airport about 15 minutes away. Come to the first tee. Bones was out walking the golf course today, even though his player is not here. So Phil Mickelson, he's praying for bad weather. Guess who's praying for good weather? Roberto Diaz, because he's the guy that gets in if Phil doesn't show up.
Well, and I think Roberto's got a real good chance to get in. As we talked about when the announcement came forth, you can never fault Phil Mickelson for what he's doing. It is going to be tough that he won't be in the U.S. Open unless something weather-wise happens. But Justin Rose is going to be there, the Olympic champion and the man who won at Marion, the U.S. Open. Hideki Matsuyama, who played so brilliantly earlier in the year. Jason Duffner, a recent winner on tour. This, you know, you mentioned mentioned Dustin Johnson with the stuff going on off the course. You mentioned McIlroy, you know, with coming back from injury, Spieth not being as good as he was. This kind of has the makings of a wide open U.S. Open.
Well, if there's any way in my power, I'd slip the name Jay Randolph Jr. in that entry sheet. It's that wide open. Maybe you could bring it home, buddy.
Well, I could at least hit the fairway with my vertical groove driver, but I don't know what I'd do on the greens. It could be a real problem, and 7,700 is a little long for me. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll have Ian Carter, the BBC golf correspondent, with us to share his opinions. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis. Talk Sport 2. Tune in, Audio Boom, iTunes, and of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. As we preview the U.S. Open at Erin Hills, we're powered by Vertical Groove Golf. I'm Jay Randolph Jr. along with my man, Bob Bubka. Bob is lucky enough to be at Erin Hills. And Bob, you got a special guest, a guy we like to turn to when the majors come around.
Yeah, he's been around for a while. Nobody does it any better than Ian Carter. He's BBC's golf correspondent. I know, Ian, you just had an opportunity to talk with Justin Rose. Bring us up to date on how he's feeling and how do you like his chances?
Well, hi Bob, hi Jay. I think he does like his chances because he knows that on the toughest golf courses he has a game that matches up extremely well. This is his first major opportunity since coming so close at Augusta when he lost the playoff to Sergio Garcia, so he has a little extra motivation there, but he's very careful to say, I'm not using this as a week to try and make up for the disappointment of Augusta. This is another opportunity at a major, and as I say, I think he feels very good about the mental fortitude that is a hallmark of his game as much as anything else, which has got to be very, very strong. It always has to be at a US Open, and this one, from what I've seen on my first day here, is certainly another where that mental fortitude is going to be so important, the 15th club in many respects.
You know, Ian, when we think of Justin Rose, and you mentioned the mental toughness, you know, he won his US Open at Marion, really required a lot of mental gymnastics. You just don't tee it up at Marion and get the job done. A small golf course, but still a thinking man's golf course. And I think even though this is a huge golf course, could play 7,700 yards some days, it's still going to require, as you alluded to, somebody that really is in control of the mental aspects.
Yeah, patience is the word that just keeps coming back at me. It always does, doesn't it, in US Open week. And you're right to point out that Merion, you know, is a smaller golf course. It's a lot more compact. But Rose was saying that the same principles are going to have to apply here this week. And it's about making sure you don't play yourself out of the tournament. And he was very quick to point out to me that he was the only player at Merion that didn't put a double bogey on his card in the course of that week. And he said, you can get away with bogeys. It's the double bogeys that do the damage. And so I suspect that someone who's got that knowledge in the locker, I don't know what you think, Bob, and you know, you've been around this block many, many times, but I often want to shake players because they don't kind of recognize that everyone's struggling. So when things start going wrong, or they perceive that things are going wrong, they're just doing what everyone else is doing. And if you can stay in that position of going, hang on, this isn't a major crisis, it's only a drop shot, let's move on, then you're much likely to progress, especially in a U.S. Open.
That sounds like good philosophy to me, Jay.
No question about it, and Justin Rose has that type of moxie. I'm curious, Ian, what you think about Rory McIlroy this week. Earlier in the day, he was extremely disappointed with the fact that the USGA had made the decision to trim some of the fescue areas and make them more playable. Bob told the story at the beginning of the show how he played with one of the architects over the weekend.
Well, my initial sense is that McIlroy knows that if you come into any US Open worried about the course setup, feeling that it's unfair, feeling that it's too penal, then you're finished, you're done, you're gone. And he admitted today that that's exactly how he felt at Chambers Bay. And actually, once he'd shaken that off, that funk off, if you like, he actually put together a really good charge on the final day and almost brought himself into contention. It's very clear to me there is no way he is prepared to take on that kind of negative mindset. So I think that really was at the heart of what he was saying. I think he made a very valid point. You know, if fairways are 60 yards wide, then you shouldn't really be very worried about what's either side of them, because that should be a big enough target to hit, especially with the rain that has fallen, the fact that the fairways are softer and therefore are going to play even wider. So I think he had a pretty fair point as far as that was concerned. And I think that, you know, that point that he made of certain players will have played themselves out of this tournament without even teeing it up by going in with a negative mindset. I think that's very, very interesting.
And Ian, let me ask you about another young player, a young Englishman who clearly has shown he's got big time game. I don't know if he's ready to step up this week. Maybe you have a different feeling. Matthew Fitzpatrick, a former U.S. amateur champion, would love to add a U.S. Open trophy to his trophy case.
Absolutely. He's got experience of playing here. He played a college tournament on this golf course. He's done well with USGA setups in the past as a former US amateur champion. And he's lifted his game to another level. He won at the end of last year on the European Tour at the equivalent of our Tour Championship. And that was the biggest win of his career to date. And that was on a big golf course in Dubai. It's been the preserve of big, big hitters. Alvaro Quiroz has won there. Henrik Stenson always does well. Rory McIlroy's done well. And you think about Matthew Fitzpatrick, who's very small, he's very slight, and you don't really think of him as being one of the big hitters. I tell you what, I was standing on the range watching him today. He gets it out there. And he can ally that to a fantastic short game. And if that's on song, and it, you know, that what it will take this week is someone who drives the ball extremely well, but putts and gets it up and down very well as well, and doesn't make the silly mental mistakes and then compounds those mental mistakes. Now, whether he's ready to have that level of maturity is very much open to question. I give you that, Jay. But certainly all the ingredients are there somewhere along the line. Matthew Fitzpatrick to have an excellent US Open.
You know what I want to run by, Ian? For all of us that have covered this game for a long while, we felt a sense of enjoyment, obviously, when Sergio Garcia finally got it across the line at Augusta. I have the same feeling here if Lee Westwood could get the job done. Is it possible, Ian?
It is possible because
he's in the field.
He's in the field, and he drives the ball as well as anybody, and he still does, and he still puts himself in position. But you know what, Bob? I hate to say this because I agree with you. I can't think of anyone I'd rather see win a major championship. I honestly believe that, but I just wonder how many times he can knock on that door without realizing that it's not going to open. You know, I saw him at the PGA Championship, BMW PGA Championship with recently, and he came off the golf course on the Saturday, and I have never, ever seen him so happy. He'd played like Seve. His caddy, Billy Foster, who used to caddy for Seve, said, that was Seve-esque, the way that you played. He was getting the ball up and down. He had 24 putts. The long game, which is the hallmark of his strength, had deserted him, and yet he still knocked it round and put himself in contention. He was thrilled to bits, and to listen to him, he was going to go and win the next day. There was nothing more certain. And then, of course, he faded on the final day. And unfortunately, that is the story of Lee Westwood's career at the moment. He's still capable, after 54 holes, of putting himself in the mix. He did it at the Masters. He did it at the US Open 12 months ago. And then when push comes to shove on the final day, when that accelerator has to be pressed, when that moment has to be seized, he just doesn't seem capable. The hard fact, that's the hard evidence. I'd love to be proved wrong. It would be a wonderful, wonderful way to put a seal on a fantastic career. And maybe it'll happen, but all the evidence, I have to say, suggests that it's probably beyond him.
Let me run one other name right by you, Ian. We certainly appreciate your time here. Mr. Hatton. I mean, he's come like out of nowhere, but he seems to have tremendous ability to play this game.
He's got a fantastic touch on the greens, and that's been at the heart of this really rapid rise up there. Won the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, but just a slew of high finishes, including the Open Championship last year, and it's taken him into the world's top 20. Very quietly spoken, lovely lad, fiery temperament on the golf course. He's known for that. This is his first US Open, and he's going into it as a top 20 player. I'm not sure this is the kind of place for him. They like to mess with a player's head, and I suspect that his temperament might just let him down. He needs to learn the art of patience at a US Open. I'm not quite sure he's ready for that. But, boy, he's a talented player.
What would it do to the golf world, Mr. Carter, if Andrew Beef Johnston is holding that trophy come Sunday afternoon?
It would add relish, mustard, ketchup. It would make golf taste a whole lot better, wouldn't it? Because he is such a character, so, so popular. And it's really interesting, back home, to see the response that he gets off the back of a high finish at the Open Championship last year. He wasn't even the highest Englishman in the end. Tyrrell Hatton beat him. Tyrrell Hatton played a practice round with Beef Johnston today, and Hatton was waiting on the tees for Johnston because he was having to sign all the autographs. He's a great character. I don't know if you've seen the film that the European Tour put out. Aaron, the little boy Aaron, who's 9 years old, his favourite golfers are Beef Johnston, Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson, and Martin Keimer. You need to go to the Twitter feed of the European Tour. I'm not going to spoil it for you, but it's Aaron's birthday, and he has a treat. He's picked up on a lift to Wentworth, and Beef's driving the car. And the rest of the story, just look at his face. It's a true story. It's a wonderful film, and it presents golf in the most fantastic light. I urge every single person listening, go onto the European Tour social media and look out, or just Google Aaron birthday ride, and you'll see why Beef is such a great guy, but also why the likes of Rose and Stenson and Keimer are wonderful too.
Well, Bob, I think it's time to make our picks, and we've got Ian with us, so we'll let Ian go first. We're looking for who his pick is to win, and maybe a dark horse at Erin Hills.
Right. Okay. I've got two players in mind, and I don't know which one you'll consider to be the dark horse and which one to be the kind of favorite. I'm going to say I like Adam Scott's chances this week. I was in his news conference, and he spoke very, very well. He's hitting the ball extremely well. If the putter is on song, he's got the temperament to deal with this. So let's go with Scott. And then I don't know if you can call him a dark horse, but I do think his game matches up extremely well for this golf course, and that's Justin Thomas.
Well, that was going to be my pick as far as an American
<Got him>.
Play. And so you pipped me there, Ian, but that's nothing unusual. I like, Justin Thomas. He, as I said with Jay a little earlier, he just hits it so far. He's won three times on the PGA Tour this year, so he's no strange winner's circle. And I think ultimately, though, Rory McIlroy is going to prevail. Who do you like, Jay?
Well, I was going to go with Dustin Johnson, but I think maybe there's a little bit too much going on outside the ropes with the baby. I'm going to go with Rombo. John Rahm. I mean, playing as an amateur a year ago at Oakmont and now in the top 10 in the world golf rankings, I'm going to go with Rombo, my dark horse. And again, a guy that Ian probably didn't think is a dark horse, but a lot of people over here in the States would, and that's Shane Lowry.
We'd like to thank Ian for his keen insight leading into this 117th U.S. Open. Just a reminder, you're listening to The Grow Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis. Tune in, Audio Boom, iTunes, and, of course, the Armed Forces Radio Network.
And let's remind everybody about our Pick the U.S. Open Winner Contest. You need to enter. We change it up a little, so now there's time for everyone to get their pick into the contest. Now, if there are more than one winning entry for the eventual winner, all the winning contestants' names will go into a hat, a Vertical Groove Golf hat, and we'll draw a winner out. Here's the contest details. Send your pick to win the U.S. Open to entry at thegrillroom.com. That's entry at thegrillroom.com, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grow Room. I'm Bob Bupka, proud to be alongside of Jay Randolph Jr. I'm here at the U.S. Open Media Center, and you can feel the excitement starting to build. And don't forget, we've been keeping tabs on the web.com's Lincoln Land Charity Championship, which will be played next week in Springfield, Illinois at the Panther Creek Country Club. And Jay, I think you have some tickets to give away.
At Normandy, we had a group of players from Peoria, Illinois, that were, I didn't even know they were coming in. They said they were from Peoria, and they saw the tickets, and they said, can we take a couple? I said, yeah, you could take a couple. If you'd like any, if you're out there in the listening area, maybe near Springfield, Illinois, or in the vicinity and would like some tickets, I can get you taken care of. Just send me a message or tweet me at STL Golf Geek. It's going to be an exciting event. We're 156 of the web.com's top players, including Jason Gore, who played well last week, will display their talents. I mean, this is the future of the game of golf, and the real winner will be charities in the Springfield area. Panther Creek, a wonderful venue. Again, if you want tickets, just send me a tweet at STL Golf Geek.
In fact, we just got some news today saying that the Horace Mann Educators Corporation, the largest national financial services company focusing on educators' financial needs, is sponsoring the Horace Mann Educator Day at the Lincoln Land Charity Championship. Any educator showing proper identification will get a free admission on Thursday to the grounds. Thank you, Horace Mann, for providing a great experience for hardworking teachers and educators. Next week, in the Grill Room, we'll have a wrap-up of the U.S. Open, a player preview of the Lincoln Land Charity Championship. Meanwhile, don't forget, if you'd like to attend the Lincoln Land Charity Championship, just send a tweet to my man, STL Golf Geek, also known as Jay Randolph Jr., with a ticket request, and he will hook you up. Or go on the Lincoln Land Charity Championship website to purchase your tickets. And don't forget that the money you pay for your ticket goes to the tournament charity of your choice.
Well, now you're up to date with what's going on around the world of golf and at the U.S. Open. That's it for this week. The Grill Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as well as the veterans, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Just a reminder, time is running out. Pick the U.S. Open winner. Send your picks to entry at thegrillroom.com. That's entry at thegrillroom.com.
So for Janice Sell, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Like us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.